Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations where you found yourself all of a sudden quite embarrassed, or you found that about your faith, or your being a Christian was a bit all of a sudden sort of socially awkward, and you thought, I was going to take that one in my back pocket. Going to tuck it in my back pocket a bit. I remember when I was 14 years old. I remember this was a crucial sort of line in the sand decision I had made at one point in time. I went to a large public school. There were 500 pupils in my grade level. There were 4 grade levels in my school. And everyone knew me. I had an older brother and an older sister. Everyone knew me, and everyone knew I was a Christian. That was a fact. Most people were pretty cool with it. A few people, every now and again, would, you know, Bible boy, or you know, take the mix some way, shape, or form. But I had my circle of friends, most of them Christians, some of them not. And I remember I was spending the night over at a buddy's house, 3 friends of mine. They weren't Christians, they knew I was. We were hanging out, goofing around in my buddy's basement, as guys of that age do. And one of my buddies said, oh, we should watch this film tonight. And another one of my buddies says, oh, yeah, we should. And another one of my buddies goes, oh, but you know, Peter's here and he's a Christian. And in that moment, I had an opportunity. In that moment, I could have been like, oh, guys, I hate to spoil your evening, but thanks. It's really cool of you to respect my faith. I opted, out of curiosity's sake, a little FOMO, fear of missing out, wanting to know what everybody else knew, wanting to experience what all my friends were experiencing. I was like, no, it's cool. It's cool. Let's watch it. That's entirely inappropriate. Shouldn't have done that. And that was one of those lines in the sand, 14 years old. Many of you probably have similar. You can think back and go, ah, yeah, 13, 14, 15, you know, 16, 17, 18, yeah, and then there were my 20s. And it kind of keeps on going, doesn't it? And I'd love to be able to say that just happened when I was 14, or that just happened when I was in school or when I was in university. But you would be surprised what a showstopper telling people you're a pastor is. You know, you're hanging out, you're with peers, you're meeting new people, you're in a social environment, you're watching a game or whatever, and people are like, oh yeah, what do you do? What do you do? You're like, well, I've been a full-time pastor for 15 years. Cool. Anyway, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, and you go, oh, and you have those moments when you're so keenly aware that your love for Jesus is fragile. And your love for Jesus is kind of compromisable. And your love for Jesus just isn't as robust as you long for it to be. And in those moments when you're keenly aware of how your love for Jesus really is found lacking, I find it easy to slide into a just sort of a what's the use, or how does Jesus put up with me, or this is probably why my life isn't what I want it to be, or my this isn't the way I want it to be, or my that isn't the way I want it to be, because at the end of the day, Jesus knows my love for him is pretty conditional. And it tends to be convenient. And it's in a sort of similar sort of situation that we come across our text this evening in John 21. Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen again from the dead. He has shown himself to his disciples. There's been this miraculous catch of fish. Peter, that night, says, I'm going to go fishing. The disciples, some of the other disciples go with them. They fish all night. Can't catch a thing. Jesus is on the shore, barbecuing some fish breakfast. Says, hey, have you caught anything? They're like, No, who's this joker? Yeah, cast your net on the other side of the boat. You know, like, okay. And then someone, John, recognizes it's Jesus. Peter grabs his outer garment that he had taken off because he's working hard, right? And just Forrest Gump right in the water. You know, Lieutenant Dan. You know, I mean, he's ready to go. Jumps in the water, swims the 100 meters. Thanks for at least a couple of laughs. That was good. Swims, 100 meters to the shore while the other disciples gather up this net full of 153 fish and they have breakfast together, which is exciting because it shows us that Jesus physically raised from the dead. He has a meal with them. He eats. And then we have this bit where they've finished eating and Peter and Jesus have this exchange. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Well, isn't this an interesting exegetical question? Who or what are the these? What a mystery. And there are some scholars who will say the these are the fish that they've caught. You know, do you love me more than this job fishing? Do you just love fishing or do you love me? And some people will say it's the disciples as the object of Peter's affection. He's thinking, I got to take care of these guys. We need to eat. We don't know what Jesus is doing. We know we're supposed to be in Galilee. We don't know what's going on. But listen, they're looking at me now and we need to eat. So let's go fishing. Do you love me more than you love these other disciples? The other way of understanding it that we'll probably go with tonight is, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? In other words, do you love me the most? And we have to remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus is saying, I'm going to be betrayed, Peter says, I will not deny you. I will not betray you. I will go. I will die for you. Even if everyone else deserts you. Paul was talking about this last week. Even if everyone else goes away, I'm in it. I'm in it to death. And then he ends up denying Jesus three times. While Jesus is on trial, in this time, arguably, of his greatest need for support. Three separate occasions. I don't know the man. I've never seen the man. He curses. Some scholars would say he cursed Jesus himself, as a way of saying, I have nothing to do with him. And when Jesus asks Peter, do you love me more than these? He uses the Apostle John uses the Greek word agape. Or we say it agape here, don't we? And it's the idea of unconditional, sacrificial love. Peter, do you unconditionally, sacrificially love me more than the rest of these disciples? What does Peter say? Many of you are familiar with this passage. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And many of you who have interacted with this passage before will know that in Greek, John is writing this, and Peter says, you know I phileo you, I phileo you. I'm very fond of you. You're like a brother to me. You know that I don't agape you. You know I don't unconditionally, sacrificially love you yet. You know that. You know that all too well. You looked right at me after my third denial. You looked right at me. You know it. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Do you agape me? Do you unconditionally, sacrificially love me? Truly? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You know that I filio you. I'm fond of you. I'm committed to you. You're like a brother to me, but I'm not there. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time, in the Greek text, John writes that Jesus asks, do you filio me? Do you filio me? Are you fond of me? Am I like a brother to you? Are we comrades? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Do you filio me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I filio you. You know that I love you. You know I love you. You know I care about you. You know that you're like a brother to me. You know that I consider us to be tight. You know how much you mean to me. And you know how that falls short. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself. And then you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. And we have this instance where it's very similar to when Jesus first called Peter as a disciple. Peter was on the docks mending his nets with his brother Andrew, James, and John nearby. He says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And here Peter is on the beach after a catch of fish. Nets that will need to be mended. Need to be tended to. Follow me. And what's great is Jesus says three things for Peter. Okay? One of them has to do with feeding his sheep, tending his lambs, that sort of thing. Another one has to do with the death that he's going to die. And the third thing is follow me. And you might be sitting here going, I really care about Jesus. He really matters to me. I know he died on a cross for my sins. I know he rose again on the third day. So that I could be forgiven of my sins. So that my heart and my mind could be changed by the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I could know my Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father could know me. I know those things are true. And Peter, you've told me about the Journal of the American Medical Association and the physiology of crucifixion. And the brutality that it was. And I've seen the passion of the Christ. And I've heard the horrors. And I believe that all of that, even if it was only for me, Jesus would have done that. And I understand that that's how big of a deal my sin is. And I know that that should compel me to drop everything and forget anything and everyone and whatever and be completely, entirely sold out to Jesus and Him alone. Unconditionally, sacrificially, without question, thought, or hesitation. I know that. And I know what last week at school was like. I know what this week at work is going to be like. I know what term is going to be like. I know what exams are like. I know what parties are like. I know what being at the pub is like. I know. And I know I filio Jesus. And Jesus says to each and every one of us, yeah, I know. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Take care of my sheep. You might think that the imperfection of your love for Jesus gets you off of the hook for caring about His people and caring about His mission. It doesn't. It doesn't. Some of us might be thinking it gets us off the hook. Some of us might be thinking it disqualifies me. I'd love to, but Peter, if you knew me like I know me, you would know that I'm in no position to get involved in those sorts of ways. I'm in no position to tell someone about Jesus. I'm in no position to try and explain the gospel to anyone. I'm in no position to help out in children's ministry or help out in youth ministry or help out with Good News Cafe or help out with student ministry or fill in the blank. If you knew me like I know me, you would know I don't qualify. I don't sacrificially, unconditionally love Jesus like that. And Jesus says to you, you're not disqualified. I know you, Philiomi. You're not off the hook. You're not disqualified. And say to us, like he said to Peter, when you were younger, you did what you wanted to do. When you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do it, why you wanted to do it. But the good news of the gospel is that through faith in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us and is changing us and is transforming us. And when we look at when you are old, someone else will lead you where you do not want to go. Some people will say, well, that's the Holy Spirit who's leading Peter where he does not want to go. Perhaps. Or maybe it's the Roman soldiers who are going to crucify him upside down who are leading him where he does not want to go. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's not. I'd like to think that the Holy Spirit would change his heart and change his mind, and did. So that Peter could say, you know, I'm not really looking forward to crucifixion, but hey, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. And it appears that he embraced that. Here's the point I want to make with that. Why did Peter go through with those things? All the beatings and the imprisonments and the hardship of life. Why did Paul go through his shipwrecks and his travels and his rejection and his beatings and all the hardships of his life? Why did Jesus go through all the hardships and the beatings and the crucifixion and the rejection of his life? And why did any of the apostles go through the beatings and the rejections and the disappointments and the hardships and the troubles of this life? And why did Stephen, the first martyr, go through the stoning and the rejection? And why did so many Christians go through all of that stuff? Well, it was to be like Jesus. It was to take care of Jesus' sheep. It was to feed Jesus' lambs. And Paul says in Philippians, and we've been talking about it a couple different times here throughout the last sort of few months. He says, verse 21 of chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Paul goes through all of this stuff to feed Jesus' sheep. Peter goes through all of his stuff to feed Jesus' sheep, to take care of his lambs. And we understand this metaphor. We are Jesus' flock. And we understand that Jesus, we've heard the analogy Jesus has used, he is the good shepherd. And he'll leave the 99 to go out and find the one. And he's not a gentleman about it. He isn't like, here, sheepy, 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 sheepy. Come on now. He comes with his staff, breaks the lamb's legs, breaks the sheep's legs, puts it around his neck and carries it back. I'm taking care of you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you because you're mine and I love you. And we together are Jesus' flock. The question is, how do we feed each other? Well, we feed each other. We feed with the Word of God, right? Yeah. And sometimes we'll talk about, you know, preaching. Oh, that was like a hearty meal. It was a steaky sermon, you know, kind of thing. You know, oh, that's a bit milk toast now, wasn't it? A little bit spoon-fed there at that church and that sermon, right? And surely, the Word of God, it feeds us. Surely. But the written Word of God serves to point us to the living Word of God, who is Jesus, who is bread from heaven, John chapter 6. And whenever we take communion, and Stephen will say, feed on Him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus is our food. Jesus is our sustenance. Jesus is the one who gives us strength. We eat so that our muscles have the nutrition they need to keep on moving, for our brains to keep on functioning. Jesus is the nutrition. He is the one who keeps our spirits alive and healthy. It is through faith in Him that His Spirit dwells in us and gives us life. No matter how imperfectly you love Jesus this evening, are we feeding each other? Are we bringing Jesus to one another? When you're on the phone with a friend, or you go out for a pint or a cup of coffee or whatever else, and you're chatting about life, and stuff is going on and you're sharing it, do you feed each other with Jesus? Do we have any idea of what the gospel of Jesus Christ, His life, death, resurrection, and ascension, has to say or has to do about what you're going through right now? Whether that be a situation at work, whether that be a vulnerability in your family, whether that be a personal stress, whatever it happens to be, do we feed each other by bringing Jesus to one another in our content? Do we speak the truth of Jesus to each other? In our relationships, are we Jesus towards one another? Do we show grace and truth to one another? Are we able to say, oh man, that situation really stinks. I think you're out of line here though. But I also think this person is out of line. Let's pray for you. And then with the same grace and truth and prayer, let's pursue the other and find some reconciliation. Because that's what Jesus has come to do, to reconcile people with God and people with each other. So, do we feed each other with Jesus through our content, what we say? Do we feed people with Jesus by who we are to them? And do we feed people with Jesus in how we pray for them? Understanding that spiritual transformation happens by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God alone. He who began a good work in us is faithful to carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because it's God who works in us both to will, to want, and to do, to act according to God's pleasure. No matter how imperfectly you love Jesus, we can still feed each other with Jesus, so that we can be spiritually strengthened and grow in our love for Jesus, so that one day we can, like Peter, like Paul, like Jesus Himself, go, crucifixion doesn't sound like something I really want, but let's do it. And pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Follow me, Jesus says to Peter. And you might be thinking, you might know something that Jesus wants you to follow Him in. And you think, that would kill me. I can't give that up. That would kill me. I'd rather die than lose this level of income. I'd rather die than not have this lifestyle. I'd rather die than have to be friends with this person. It would kill me to have to serve in this way. And Jesus goes, yep. I'm trying to kill you. Because we believe in and serve a God of death and resurrection. There is no resurrection without death. There will be nothing new in your life until something dies. And you can sit and I can sit and say, I want newness of life in Christ. I want to experience the power of the resurrection and the glory and the joy of my salvation. You won't if you refuse to die. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection, fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. There is no resurrection without death. And of course, we're understanding this metaphorically. Because you know what? To give up an extra night this week and every week will not kill you. How many of you parents have told your kids, go clean your room, it's not like it's going to kill you? Eat your vegetables, it's not going to kill you. And they're sitting there, I would rather die than eat these Brussels sprouts. Well, die then. Then eat the sprouts and be strong and healthy. Follow me. What is it that Christ is asking you to give up, to put to death, to lose, so that you may gain him? So that you can feed him to others, no matter how imperfectly you love him today. And just like our kids, we go, well, what about him? What about her? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to, you know, drop my standard of living a little bit, but what about them? Oh, I'm supposed to give up another week night, but what about them? Oh, I'm supposed to go out on a limb and invite this colleague of mine out for a beer so I can minister Christ to him. But what about them? What about her? Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Mom, Dad, why do I have to go to bed? What about my brother? What about him? Going to bed. Oh, he gets to go off to the cinema? What about me? What about you? What about him? We have this lie that we tell as parents that we parent you all the same. We don't. It's a lie. Because you're different. You can't parent different kids the same. It's impossible. So just get used to it. Sorry, it's a rough one. Sorry, parents. You're like, Nevins, come on. I thought you were on our team. Okay. God's got different plans for all of our lives. Jesus has different ways for each of us to follow him. And the question for us tonight is, will we follow him? Knowing it might kill us, but there's resurrection on the other side. And will we feed each other with Jesus? With the truth of who he is and what he's done. In the way we interact with one another and in prayer by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would indeed work in our hearts and our minds. that you would strengthen us by your Spirit to, from wherever it is that we love you now, Jesus, to take care of your sheep, to feed each other with you, Jesus, in what we say and how we relate and in prayer. And that by your Spirit we would be strengthened to take up our cross, to learn to sacrifice without condition. And as we sacrifice, Lord, we pray that we would come to know the power of your resurrection as we follow you. In your name, Jesus, amen.